Hello, everyone. Hello, loved ones. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio, enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host, an intuitive spiritual healer, teacher, spiritual director, and founder of Spirituality Inside and Out. Our global vision and divine purpose is to connect people to create oneness. For in truth, we are all one. Through support and universal guidance, we educate people about the power within to heal oneself and others. Let us help you to express the divine love and truth within. At Spirituality Inside and Out, we offer several products and services designed to transform your life and help you create the life you so desire and deserve. Some of them include group meditations, self-realization sessions, spiritual guidance, prayer circles, and personal healing sessions, as well as guided meditation CDs. As well as always, I invite you to sign up for the daily Universal Insights, each insight awakening you to your true self. The healing power is within you. All you have to do is open up to receive it. Expect the unexpected from within yourself. Visit www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. As always, I invite all of your questions, comments, and suggestions to infinitelovradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. Today and every day, my highest intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for your participation and this opportunity for me to serve you. I am truly grateful. I love you and I bless you. On today's show, I will be sharing with you a little prayer, just like always, followed by a very inspiring special guest, Paul Kay, an ordained minister with a doctorate in spiritual science, is a dedicated student of spiritual practices. He has designed and delivered workshops worldwide on the practical application of spiritual principles. Paul's presentations are inspiring, practical, and filled with a wonderful sense of humor. Paul is also the co-author of The Rest of Your Life, Finding Response in the Beloved. For more information, please visit www.msia.org and as well for his daily blog, please visit godisyourpartner.org. But for now, I invite you all to join me and Paul on the air. Join yourself in your true self, in your presence, in your body, right where you are. For you are special, you are beautiful, you are divine as who you are. In this moment, I invite you to take several deep cleansing breaths with me, allowing yourself to tune into your heart, tune into yourself, tune into your presence, tune into your soul. Tune into the now. Here we go. I invite you to take a deep cleansing breath in. And just exhaling with an ah. Just exhaling with an ah. Releasing any unwanted thoughts and emotions and any unwanted energies inside you. I invite you to shake your head, shake your arms and legs. Releasing the tension, the heaviness, the burdens, the stress, the blockages and the stagnations in your body and mind, releasing so your heart will open, your soul will awaken to all that is. Bravo. Good job. Now here we go for the second deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling. Ah. Shake it out. Breathe it out. And allow yourself to become one with yourself. And as you become one with yourself, therefore you are one with all that is. Good job. Another third deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah. Releasing, letting go. And breathing in life, breathing in truth, breathing in your wisdom, breathing in love, breathing into who you are as a beautiful emanation of God, the divine source, creator, light, spirit, whatever term you have for this beloved presence within you, you are that. Breathe into it with gratitude and appreciation. Breathe into it with acceptance. Breathe into it as you can experience the peace within and without. And with gratitude and appreciation to God, the divine, the illuminating light of all that is, we are so grateful to know who we are, where we are, what we are, and all that has been provided for us. We are truly so grateful as we choose to open up our hearts. Choose is key word, choosing to open up our hearts, choosing to be present, choosing to allow, and choosing to receive and give and allow this energy to circulate inside and out is my invitation to you and myself and all that is. So with gratitude and appreciation for you being present with us, you allowing your time to be spent with us, we invite you to have a magnificent time with myself and my guests on this show, putting a big smile on your face, for you are truly worthy and deserving. Thank you. And again, taking this opportunity to reintroduce our wonderful guest, Paul Kay, who is an ordained minister and a doctorate in spiritual science. Again, we will be talking about much stuff and about his latest book, The Rest of Your Life. Where is the rest of your life? Finding response in the beloved. Without further ado, welcoming our guest, Paul.
Hello there. Nice to be with you.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, very happy to be here and listening to your beautiful meditation.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you. I appreciate your latest book and the CD, book and CD. It's so wonderful. It's so authentic. And to me, it's so easy to get, Paul. It's so easy to get. Because I guess truth is easy to get.
Well, truth is within us. Sometimes it's not that easy because we have to see through so many levels of illusion within us. But yes, I think the way it's phrased is that it's simple, but it isn't easy.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. Paul, now you talk about God throughout the book, and beloved throughout the book. What is God? Paul?
Yes, hello there.
Yes, we got caught up for a short time. I don't know if the listeners got that or not. What is God and the beloved to you personally?
Well, I think it's a quality within, for sure. I think we look oftentimes for God without us, outside of us, and there just seems to be, when we think of God, that man in the sky kind of thing where somebody is watching over us. And so I like the word the beloved, because the beloved takes away any conditioning we have around the name God. You know, God has been used in so many ways. And so the beloved is this loving presence, this unconditional loving presence, which is what I relate to as this God power. And within it, it's just a magnificent place to be. And that's why I've kind of subtitled the book with John Roger, Finding Repose in the Beloved, just allowing ourselves to completely relax into this unconditionally loving presence.
Mm. So from my experience with my clients and my classes that I put, people are often confused about God. You know, a lot of people raise their hand up into the sky. Or what is God anyway? If I'm sick or if my loved one passed away, why did God do so? Why did God make me sick? Why did God kill my beloved? You know, do you have any experiences like that? And what would you say to anyone who has experienced an illness or death to an illness or a loved one dying in an accident or a death to an illness that they believe God has done it?
Yes. Well, in a way, God does it if one takes the perspective that God is omniscient and and omnipresent, which means that God is all-knowing and is everywhere. So in a sense, we're all part of God. But we do know just from practical experience that everybody who is in a body at this time, everybody on the planet and every animal is going to die. So really, all we're dealing with is a matter of when. So I think some people really feel unjustly done by God sometimes when life is what I would call, is ended. But really, one way of looking at it is life being ended or interrupted. Another way of looking at it is when a person leaves, their life is completed. It's hard for us to think of a young person having their life completed. But if you look in terms of God's perfection, they were here for exactly the amount of time they needed to be here. Mm-hmm. And that can be difficult for some people. But once one takes a spiritual perspective, life becomes just a little bit easier to take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Beautifully said. Thank you very much. I just wanted to get your perspective.
Yes, thank you.
I my creation of God is a loving one, not a judgmental one. So I perceive God, I know God in my heart, in my soul as this, and I feel the vibrations, you know. That's why this show is called Infinite Love Radio, Infinite God, Infinite Beloved, Infinite Spirit.
Well, I'm certainly with you on that one, and certainly, you know, the way I phrase it is unconditionally loving, and you know, it's, and unconditional is difficult for people to get around because it means no matter what, and we're so taught and conditioned that if we do good things, we'll get good things back. But it's hard for us to realize that if we don't do good things, God still is loving us unconditionally. So it doesn't really matter what we do.
Speaking of love, in your book, you have the 10 resting points for your life. There is one, love more each day.
Yes.
Love more each day. I love that. I love that. But I love it, and you love it. But for someone that has been hurt and abused, Paul, in their life, and feels like they're a victim, and misjudged, and mistreated, how can they love? They don't understand what we're talking about.
Well, they may not understand what we're talking about from the perspective of being a victim. And a victim is one of the most weakening positions we can take. It really literally weakens us. In the first book that I wrote with John Roger called Momentum, Letting Love Lead, I talked about that really as human beings, as God people, we really do have superpowers. And that being a victim is our kryptonite, you know, using the Superman analogy, that it weakens us and we can no longer use those superpowers. And what are those superpowers? Well, one of them is the ability to forgive. And if we can choose, and a lot of it becomes a choice, and when we're a victim, we don't think we have a choice. So the first thing to realize is that that we do have a choice, no matter how difficult it is. And history is filled with people who have been hard done by in terms of we can look at it and say, oh God, what a shame, or that's tragic, or that really was tough, and have managed to transcend those situations because they pulled something from inside of themselves. So love isn't something we need to get. We are love. That's who we are. So we have to be able just to access it. And that's not always easy when we're under stress or when we feel like we're a victim. In fact, if we feel we're a victim, we can't make the choice. We're completely frozen.
I love this. Every show, Paul and the listeners, every single guest talks about forgiveness. I love it. I have healed myself so many times. Oh, my God, unlimited. I can't tell you. And I actually sit down and I ask myself how I can forgive myself and anyone else that I don't feel right with, or I feel separated from. You know, there's some kind of forgiveness that can take place within me. I call forgiveness like just saving my soul. You know, I feel like there's holes in my soul, and when I forgive, these holes just kind of like clean up and get polished. I love forgiveness.
You know, when John Roger, who is my spiritual teacher, when he talked about forgiveness many, many years ago, maybe 40 years ago, it sounded like it was a very radical concept at the time. Of course, it was brought forward by Jesus in biblical times. But it seemed a very radical concept, because the way that I forgive myself is to say, I forgive myself for. It's not like I forgive the person. I'm forgiving myself for the judgment I'm holding against myself or against the person. So it was a very radical concept. But what's interesting is that there's been so much scientific research done on the subject now that they're finding that forgiveness is one of the greatest assets, not only to our emotional and mental well-being, but also to our physical well-being as well.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, you don't know, and many of the listeners may know or not, I'm a lupus survivor. Lupus, autoimmune disease, which attacked my brain and my central nervous system, and I was halfway paralyzed. I was diagnosed with my second child 9 years ago. It comes up on every show. And one of the biggest tools for healing for me was forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness, daily forgiveness. And I just felt the energies, Paul and the guests, just flushing out of my system, out of my cell, out of my mind, out of my head, just out of my pores. You know, all that I was holding on for so many years. So that's how I know it's powerful, and I just invite forgiveness.
And now, how did you, I mean, maybe it helps the listeners, and certainly would help me to hear, how did you forgive yourself?
I just sat down and I forgave myself for being so hard on myself, for blaming myself, for having thoughts that actually created my disease. I forgave myself for holding judgments and criticizing other people. I forgave myself for being angry. You know, I forgave myself for not being patient, you know, and mostly just not loving myself, not caring for myself.
Amazing. And you just said, I forgive myself for that? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I just closed my eyes and I really went deep. And, you know, I can't really say exactly, because in the moment, it just comes to me. What else can I forgive myself for? You know? And I forgave other people which I perceive have done me harm, you know? In that time, it was my ex-husband. You know, I just sat there, I forgive you for treating me this way. I forgive you. And I ask for forgiveness. Forgive me for all of my reactiveness and anger. Forgive me for not being understanding.
Yeah. Well, John Rogers says, you know, that God's business is forgiveness. And I really like that. That's a beautiful thing.
Wow, that's powerful. I never got it that way. So let's talk about your book. I want to ask you, I love this book, and a CD. Listeners, it also has a meditation CD, and you also read some of the inspirations, correct? Yes, as I listen to it. What is your purpose with this book?
Well, it's very interesting that I've had a very good life, but in some ways I'm a very typical baby boomer. I'm very happy, fulfilled. I'm happily married. I love my work, my job, and everything. And I was looking ahead, but like many people of my generation, I was looking at my financial resources, and they were not sufficient for me to retire in a few years. And I realized I'm going to be working for the rest of my life. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to be working for the rest of my life, given the pace of life, I need to find a different way in which to live so that I won't burn out. Mm-hmm. And so I then delved into John Rogers' teachings on what I considered, you know, related to that subject. And then we co-authored a book called The Rest of Your Life, Finding Repose in the Beloved. And it's like finding a place of rest for the rest of your life. And it's the idea that it's not like I can find long periods to rest, but that I can rest in my life as I go along.
That's so beautiful. And in this resting, there is a lot of guidance on breathing in the now.
Absolutely. And the breathing is a fantastic access to so many things. When we breathe correctly, first of all, it relaxes. It triggers relaxation response rather than the normal kind of adrenaline state that most of us find ourselves in these days, which leads to burnout and many, many, many problematic physical conditions. It also brings us present. I mean, you hear a lot, I'm sure, on your show, people, along with forgiveness, always talk about being in the now, being present. And breath brings us present. But the very word breath comes from the root word of spirit. And in all the cultures, breath is related to our spirit. So breath is a portal, if you will, or a doorway into our spirit. And so I'm all about breathing and relaxation. I just think that makes us more efficient beings. It's the way we're meant to be. Not that we don't have moments of stress, not that we don't have to rush at times, but that when we do need to rush and when it is important, we have the energy and the way to do it. And then when it's over, we can then relax again. And what most of us do is just carry that stress day after day after day, month after month.
I'm breathing into this moment. I'm reintroducing our guest. Again, we're speaking to Paul Kay, who's an ordained minister with a doctorate in spiritual science. We're talking about his latest book, The Rest of Your Life. And this is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. Welcome, 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 all you beautiful people out there. Welcome into the oneness. Paul, I love what you say in your book. We know how to do pain, suffering, and loneliness. This we all know very well, huh? We're directing our energies to pain, suffering, loneliness. But what we don't know is...
What we don't know is a different way to live our lives. And now, of course, there are some people that do know, but if we look at ourselves as a population and as a culture, we're clearly seeing more anxiety. We're clearly seeing a complete epidemic, in a sense, of drugs that are calming us down, that are, you know, just Prozac-like drugs. You know, drugs, anything that kind of reduces anxiety, reduces tension, reduces the split in our consciousness. And we're seeing more and more of those being administered. And we have to say, wait a minute, you know, there's something we're not quite handling here. And I think we have to look at it as the pace of life. And in all fairness to everybody, we are in a new ball game. I mean, when I sent my first email, maybe, I can't even remember, let's say 10 years ago, and I hit that button and I was able to send it to someone in Russia, and I was able to send it to someone in Japan, I went, wow, this is instantaneous. This is amazing. This has never been done before. And so I can now send through Twitter and through various means, I can be in touch with people all over the planet instantaneously. The amount of information coming into our consciousness, the things that we have to deal with, even raising children, which you no doubt know, is just unprecedented. My mother, you would leave me out in the street, not negligently, but I would just play and come home and when it turned dark. That's not what happens these days. So we're dealing with so much more input, and dealing with it is a stressful business. Nevertheless, if you read any book, even going back into Roman times or into ancient Indian times, every book says the times are more stressful than ever before.
And we're all looking for enlightenment. Where is enlightenment? I want it. I want it. You have inspiration on enlightenment in your book. I love it. I want it. It's a new fad.
Enlightenment?
Yeah.
I think it's been around for a few thousand years, but yes, in a sense it's...
I mean, I hear people wanting it more and more and more. Like, it's the in thing to do. This is the way it's coming up for me.
Well, you know, I think people are looking for enlightenment like it's an experience, where it's more of a process.
I know.
They're looking for, like, an LSD kind of enlightenment experience. And it's not really, it's kind of a gradual awakening, you know, to me anyway. And when we're forgiving, you know, we spoke about that earlier on, when we're being present, and I mean really present with what is, then we're kind of in an enlightened state.
Right. So being in the present moment is an enlightened state.
If we're fully in the present, yes. It's just the maintenance of it. So if we go out of it quickly, we may not say that we're an enlightened being, but certainly we've tasted enlightenment.
Exactly. But experience is that people want to become enlightened beings. Like, more and more people want it, and like, but they're not really willing to do and to practice, I don't know, practice being whatever you want to call it, that process to enlighten beings, to enlightening their soul.
Well, it takes tremendous courage and strength to look at ourselves, look past, and it also takes tremendous courage and strength to forgive and to love. And it's very easy. And the second weakening aspect, I mentioned us being victims is one way that we weaken ourselves, but the second one is through our judgments. When we're in a judgmental state, it can seem very strong because we're righteous and we feel, we put our foot down and we feel strong, but it's completely an illusionary strength. It's absolutely not strong at all. There's no inner strength. It's all external strength and external power. And what we're after is for an inner strength, and that inner strength is found in our loving.
Absolutely. Love rather than judge.
Yes. Now, I studied the martial arts all my life, and I'm a practitioner of Tai Chi Chuan. And in Tai Chi, it's a very difficult concept for people to understand that softness overcomes hardness.
Mm.
Because hardness is a fallback state. We'll always come back to tensing up as a way of accomplishing things. And it takes a lot of training and repatterning to realize that, you know, being connected is much stronger state than being tense. In fact, being tense is a very weak state. It just feels strong.
Absolutely.
Very difficult for people to get that. So, you know, because it does take practice. Now, none of these things are really time-related, but they are practice-related. We do sometimes need to recalibrate, repattern what we've been used to doing, and that takes strength, and it takes a little bit of application. So it's not as instantaneous as taking a pill, and that's our habitual state in this culture is to take a pill for anything.
Absolutely. You're talking about Tai Chi. I go to a center here in Los Angeles called Dawn Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of yoga and Tai Chi.
Yes, I've heard of it, yes.
You've heard of it.
Yeah.
And when we're doing the sitting down and doing the Tai Chi, it's like the most magnificent. It's a sit down kind of like a 10-minute practice.
Right.
It's the most amazing experience just to get present and feel myself, the energy. And in that moment, so many inspirations come to me. It's amazing. As I'm just relaxing and getting softer. That's the time, you know? Not when I'm rigid and stiff and running around and
Exactly. So then you realize, you know, that's the practice. And then, you know, we have to take it into daily life. I mean, you know, most yoga practitioners will tell you that most of yoga, the most important part of yoga, happens off the mat. It's not, you know, on the mat, everybody can be calm and relaxed. This is when you roll it up and you go out into the world, that's when you really need to take the practice with you. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
Beautiful. So I forgot to mention here in your book that this is a book of inspiration. This is a book that we can just wake up to. And before the show, I was mentioning to Paul that I'm just going to put it next to my bed and wake up and just open a page and read one of the inspirations, and from there, or even ask a question and open up the book, huh?
Yes, people have used that method. There's a very short but very profound quote on the left-hand side of each page, and on the right-hand side, usually there's a page or a page and a half of text, but it's all very designed to be meditative and very inward-looking, so in that sense, it doesn't take any time to read whatsoever. It can be picked up at any page. And although there is a general flow to the book itself, it doesn't have to be read from front to back.
Yes, I appreciate that. It's just like, it's more freeing. No. And here in the book, it says, resting point, ways to restore your energy. Restoring our energy.
Yes.
Woohoo! I'm after energy. Where are you? How much are you?
Right. Well, I mean, this is the big thing, because and this was part of the inspiration for the book, because everybody I was talking to was saying that they needed more energy, and I thought, well, what happened to all our energy? And a lot of it is used up in tension, habitual tension. It's not that we think we're going around, but, you know, it's just taking a moment to focus on the shoulders, let's say, and just drop them by a quarter of an inch and just see how far they will indeed drop. And as you kind of come in present with your breath and just let the breath drop and sink, you start finding your shoulders going more than a quarter of an inch. They just keep dropping, and you don't realize how high you've held them. And if you're holding your shoulders up and there's no need, you're not lifting anything, then you know that you're just working against gravity, and that working against gravity is taking energy. And if you're being shallow in your breathing, if you're just breathing in your chest, not only are you kind of in a kind of a hyper state of adrenaline, and I don't even mean, you know, this may be very unconscious, but you're not getting enough oxygen into the system, and oxygen is what's needed to fire the cells, all the cells. Our lungs are our breathing mechanism, but also our cells breathe as well. So we need the oxygen into the cells. We need the respiration of the cells. And when the cells begin to breathe, then we start to get recuperate. And as we get into more of the relaxation response, then that creates a restorative thing. So there's many ways to do it, and that's why, once again, you'll hear me mention the breath. I mean, the breath is this doorway into a rejuvenating life. It's not the only thing, but it's a doorway into the rejuvenated life. I have another thing. I don't want to go on and on.
Because I'm going to jump in and cut you off.
Exactly. You're going to jump in and say, hey, wait a minute, stop talking so much.
I'll let you talk right after we invite the listeners to drop their shoulders, right? Dropping, as you were saying, that I noticed that one shoulder is higher than the other. And one shoulder is higher than the other because I noticed my purse is so heavy on the right hand. So as you were speaking, I dropped my right shoulder. So inviting everyone to let us all drop our shoulders and breathe. Yes?
Absolutely.
Breathe in life. Go ahead, please, Paul.
Well, the other thing I wanted to mention, and I promise to be brief on this, is it's not the only thing, but in terms of recuperating our energy, is completion. We have so many uncompleted tasks out there, and every uncompleted task, we may not be consciously aware of it, but unconsciously is pulling on our energy. So if we can take an inventory of what's incompleted, write it down, and start just completing it or declaring it complete. We don't actually have to finish it, but if we can declare it complete, if we have a book we're constantly thinking we should get to, if we can just pick it up, open it, say, I declare this complete, close it, and not look at it again or give it away, we are done, and we are bringing back some of our energy to us.
Absolutely. But what if someone has to really read the book and this book?
Well, then they can make a note of it and make a kind of a schedule and just do those kind of practical steps to say, you know, I will look at it at this time, or they put it on a list of unread books. But at least it's not just keeping pulling on their energy. It's in a place that they can find it.
Absolutely. I totally get it. Unfinished business with anyone or anything, any situation or past or future, oh my God, it's really draining.
Absolutely.
It's really draining. Let's talk about stress. But before we talk about stress, let me reintroduce you again to anyone who may have just joined us. We've been speaking to Paul Kaye. He's an ordained minister with a doctorate in spiritual science, co-author of The Rest of Your Life, and you're also the president of MSIA.
That's correct, yes, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, and I've been involved with that. I met John Roger, who's the co-author of the books, back in London in 1972, so that's been many, many years now. And I came to this all very, very young, and the teaching continues to be profound and move me. By the way, if anybody did want to get in touch with me directly, I can give you my email address if you like.
Oh, please, yes.
Yes, it's my name or my initials, actually, P for Paul and K for K, so that's PK at msia.org. PK at msia.org.
Yes, and it's here in Los Angeles.
Right.
Here in Los Angeles. And then the website is also msia.org.
Yes, that's
for more information.
Yes, that's for the organization, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness.
Yes.
And I do, as you mentioned earlier on, I do a daily blog on the spiritual principles of abundance and prosperity. And you can find me there at godisyourpartner.org.
Who's your partner? God is.
God
Who's
is your partner. Exactly.
Let's cheer for God as our partner. Yay!
I think it's better than having Wall Street as your partner, that's for sure.
You know, today I was talking to a friend and she was asking me advice on marriage, you know. Her daughter is possibly getting engaged and she's asking me, and I'm like, from a spiritual point, right? Like, I'm not married, I'm divorced. So as I was talking, I got to a point where, you know, maybe I'm not the one you want to talk to. I said, you know what, I'm not in a relationship. So, and all of a sudden it came to me, I go to my friend, wait a minute, I'm married to God. Yes, love. Love is the thing. Love is the foundation. Love is the foundation. All of a sudden, I got an inspiration. Love is the foundation of a holy marriage, huh?
Well, I think that love is a foundation for sure, and you know, it's very interesting you say that, because in many ways you are qualified to give advice, because you did get married and you got divorced, and so you have wisdom as to what, in a sense, what went awry in the marriage and what choices and what didn't you look for, and maybe you can give advice that, okay, if I would have known better, this is what I would have looked for, and this is what I know now, and this is what I'm looking for in a man now or in a relationship.
Yeah. The second advice was, for me, I gave her is commitment.
Yes. Well, this is one of the things. I don't disagree with that. But really, when it comes down to it practically, it's, I think, a matter of values. And, you know, one of the reasons that people get divorced is actually not about love. It's more about money. Money situations is a very, very high percentage. It's probably the biggest reason of all, is on money matters. So that's kind of an interesting thing. So it's important to have the same values there. And it's as ridiculous as it sounds, because you think that love will overcome everything. And in a sense, it does. But oftentimes, we don't get married because of love. We get married because we want something from the other person.
Oh, yes. And that also came up in our conversation. That totally came up. Is this real love? Does she want to marry because she really loves? Or is it a need? Or does she want to escape from something?
Right. All of those are very, very good questions. And if the person is 40 or 50 years old, they're going to mean something very different to someone who's 20 years old. Because of the hormonal structure is somewhat different. I know when I was young and I wanted to get married, I didn't care what anybody told me. I wanted to get married. So there's not necessarily always a rational basis, but we can certainly give her our wisdom, and maybe some of it will be noted.
Absolutely. Let's talk about stress and fear. Stress and fear. Let's talk about fear first, which is part of stress. Fear. What do you think about fear and this world these days? How people are living in fear of, you know, losing their homes and not enough. Fear of the future, fear of the upcoming president, you know, this, that. What do you think about that?
Well, you've heard about fear, right? False expectations appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that, you know, fear is kind of very much directed towards the future.
Right.
You know, and so one of the antidotes to that is to be present right now. Now, I talk to my parents. My father's 85 years old. He's in London. And, you know, he goes, well, don't you think things are terrible these days? And I said, well, it's certainly not as bad as Nazi Germany in 1940s, you know, when, you know, what was going on then. So, you know, I think it's all a question of scale and relativity. You know, it's something that we have to maintain our perspective on and to see how things really bad are. Fortunately, we live in a country that's fairly benign, and that the people still, despite all the ups and downs, it's still one of the best places in the world to be. So it's something, and that brings us actually to one of the great antidotes of all for anything. And it begins with G. You tell me what it is.
Drum roll.
Yes. gratitude, exactly. It deserves gratitude definitely deserves a drum roll, because really we need, when we're in fear or any of those states or stress, gratitude is one of the supreme antidotes. And I always wondered why it works so well. You know, just thinking of what we can be grateful for, just making an immediate list. Grateful for to be talking to you, that I can be on radio to talk to such a beautiful, lovely person as yourself is something that I'm definitely very grateful for right now. I'm grateful that I have my health. I'm grateful to be in Los Angeles where the sun is just out and it's just a beautiful day. So, I mean, I could just go on and on and on, and it doesn't take much. But just as we take an inventory of gratitude, we begin to feel things lift, and it's very important. And again, I tell people the same thing with forgiveness and gratitude. Don't, if it's not, you think it's very spiritual to do these things, don't do it because it feels spiritual. Do it for your health, because gratitude and forgiveness have been found to be very good for the health. So the way to combat that is to come present, because fear is a future projection, and to be grateful, and, you know, take stock of what's around, and take steps, simple steps.
Absolutely. I just want to share, you're talking about fear. I'm not into with the collective consciousness of fear. When people talk to me, I'm not in tune with that. I'm not in harmony with that. I'm not aligned with that. I don't give my energy or power to that consciousness. I direct my consciousness into my God self. And honestly, like, this is what's working for me. And as far as the gratitude, I just want to share with you, earlier this morning, I was feeling tired. As I was sitting and I was breathing, I was feeling tired. All of a sudden, I started doing the gratitude for myself, my health, my family, everything in my life, one by one. And all of a sudden, you know, my vibration changed. There was a smile on my face. So what you're saying is so beautiful. I appreciate you sharing that, because I forgot about that, the gratitude. It's so true how we can just change our energy.
Yep, absolutely. And that's when it comes down to, we get out of the victim consciousness and we go into the kind of superhero qualities, where we then have the ability to choose.
Mm.
And we're making that choice. And as long as we can make that choice, then, you know, there's a measure of control. Not the outer control, not the negative control, but the ability that we can control our own inner environment. It's not like we're trying to control the other person or trying to control the world, but we can certainly take control over what's inside of us and choose a more loving approach.
So beautiful. And as I'm grateful, I'm waking up to what is really in the here and the now, no longer in the past or in the future. It's all here. Thank you, God. Thank you, beloved. Thank you, Spirit. Thank
yes.
You.
It's the only place it can be, is right here, right now.
Right now. And this is Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host, right here, right now. We've been speaking to Paul Kay and his latest book, The Rest of Your Life. He's the co-author of The Rest of Your Life. And how can the listeners purchase this book?
I think the best place, really, honestly, is Amazon.com, because it's cheaper there.
Oh, okay.
I think for about $10 or $11, you can get the book, and I think it's very, very good value. Even if it's just for the quotes. I mean, I wrote the book with John Roger, and I like what we've come up with. But some of the quotes from some of the other people are just absolutely magnificent.
Mm-hmm, they are, and this also includes a meditation CD. You beautiful people out there, it's a book with meditation CD. I want to talk about what you say in your book about thinking from, no, about, what was it? I'm sorry. As we think in our heart, we will become. This is so beautiful. You say, as you think in your heart, you will become. That really resonated with me.
Yes, that's actually a biblical quote.
Oh, is it?
Yes, as a man thinketh in his heart, he becomes. And really, you know, John Rogers said they put the comma in the wrong place. The quote actually was, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he becomes. But John Rogers changed the comma to say that as a man thinketh in his heart, he becomes. So that's, yes, that was from the Bible. And so it's really, there's a lot of truth to that, as is our thoughts. And I'm not... To me, it's not like our thoughts are everything, but really the way that we think certainly directs our emotions, and the way that our emotions go certainly affects our health and everything else.
So for me, it's just so beautiful. It's like, stop thinking from my brain, think from my heart. Think, you know, because we're always using the word think.
Right.
But thinking from the heart.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's just, it was such a just beautiful for me. And I hope the listeners out there get it. Instead of sitting and thinking from our brains, nonstop, chatter, from the past, unfinished business, blaming, and all of that. Yeah, from our heart. What is my heart saying right here, right now?
Yes, absolutely. It's a magnificent thought. And just to, as you're talking, as my energy goes into my heart center, just what a radiant kind of form that begins to take. Just if we can just be in our hearts, and as you say, just more be thinking from that place. It brings in a beautiful intuitive quality to what we're doing.
So beautiful. So I want to ask you, all of us working mothers and fathers, running from morning till night. I'm not running from morning till night, but most people are. Okay, we wake up, get dressed, feed, clothe the children, take them to school, run to work, answer to people, phones, blah, blah, blah. You know how it works. Then run to the bank, supermarket. There's no time to breathe. We come home, it's time to take care of the kids, their homework, tomorrow, clothes, cook, wash dishes, hello to the husband or partner, blah, 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 blah. Time to sleep. There's no time to breathe. Someone out there is saying, there is no time off. I cannot take time. I'll take time off when I go on vacation next year. Does that work?
Right. So that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, is for exactly that purpose. The people are running. They're not taking time with themselves. But you have to, you know, think of the heart. If you look at the heart, physical heart, which is beating as we talk, both of our hearts are beating as we talk. And the heart actually beats for 11 hours, but it rests for 13 hours. So even within that mechanism, so that we think of the heart being continuous, and it is in a way, but it's also resting between beats. And so we can take that as a real analogy for ourselves. It's like, yes, there's going to be moments when we need to, let's say, rush somewhere. But we don't have to be rushing all the time. It's like once we're done with the rush over, now we come back into our center. And as we've mentioned before, I look at how can we rapidly come into our center, and that is we place our consciousness in our breathing. We just follow the rising and the falling of our breath. And we just let the breath sink into the lower stomach, even though mechanically it doesn't do that, but we can just think of it in those terms, that we just relax our lower belly and we let the belly come out a bit as we take a breathe in. And the bigger factor as well is the exhale. We sometimes take a breath, and it's interesting that we use the word take, and we're taking a breath. And I prefer that we just let go, which is the exhale. Everybody can do this while they're listening. We just let go. And then when we're ready, we receive the breath. And just the act of receiving immediately changes our mentality, and we start coming into a more receptive place, and we start to rejuvenate in that moment.
So beautifully said. I was doing this while I was speaking, receiving. What a great feeling to know that I can receive.
Yes, it's
anywhere, anytime.
It's a great metaphor, exactly. And in order to receive, what did you have to do first?
Let it go.
Right.
Yeah.
And in order to receive again, so whatever you just received, we're letting go, and because we have to breathe out again. And in the breathing out, think of what happens when we breathe out. It's not the air that we're breathing out. We're breathing out carbon dioxide. We're breathing out toxins. We're breathing out, and so we're creating space to receive more again, more freshness, more beauty, more oxygen, more of that. But in order to do that, we have to create space. And if we don't let go, let's say we half breathe out, then we can't receive the fullness. So the more we can breathe out without forcing it, the more we can breathe in.
Absolutely. I feel such peace right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Just that one. And if I feel the peace, you beautiful people can feel the peace also. And I love it. We can do this in the car, in the bathroom, you know, before we start eating, just taking, it's, you know, there's no excuse. That's what I want to say.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it becomes a very, almost like a sacred practice. I mean, a few months ago, you know, I talk about this stuff quite a bit, and I was brushing my teeth, And I suddenly caught myself just brushing with a fury, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, well, what am I doing? I'm brushing like there's no tomorrow. And I noticed that when I flossed my teeth, I was just doing it with my shoulders raised, and I was being real uptight and grimacing and everything. Oh, my God, I mean, this could be a relaxing moment. For God's sakes, there's nothing I have to do. All I'm doing is going to bed, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm going anywhere. And I started to slow down, and it took a while. I was counseling with someone yesterday, and I said, you know, just follow your breath. And they went, oh, follow your breath. I said, yes, you're moving before your breath. Mm. And I went, and that made sense. And then they took out their purse, and there actually was a camera, and they took it out again, very tense. And I said, wait a minute, you know, follow your breath. And it was a revelation to them, I mean, because it was just, they couldn't quite believe. And what happens is we get ahead of our breath. We go faster than our breath. We can just follow the breath.
Mm. You know, of course, because I was not taught this in school. I don't know, were you? I was not taught in school to sit down and breathe from my belly. You know what I mean? And I really wish, I have two kids, you know, and I really, really hope that one day all of this just will become like a daily routine in schools. They will start every class with a breath, and the teachers will remind them, you know, the kids will be mindful. I mean, everything would change. Our brain, the way we think, and how it would affect society, right? And I'm just going on and on, but gosh, it's such a simple thing, and nobody teaches us as we're growing up.
Well, nobody really has time, and most people don't believe in it. And again, it's the idea that softness overcomes hardness, and it's hard for people to, it's difficult for people to understand that.
Yeah, but if the school system starts, you know, opening up and waking up and just, you know, I don't know. I'm going to do something about it one of these days.
You're an idealist.
I'm really going to do something about it, because we're the ones that can bring awareness to other people and make a difference on a huge level for the kids.
Well, at least you can tell your own children. I mean, they can start there.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do. Believe me, when they get angry or upset, I'm like, please, would you please stop? Just sit down for a minute and just breathe. Allow yourself to be calm. Yeah, I do.
Good.
I mean, I don't go into the now and the present moment and all that, because slowly, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you so much. Paul, before we close, do you have anything that you would like to say to the beautiful listeners out there?
Well, I do believe that the love is the answer, that the love is all, and that the action of love, which is loving, is a very important practice. And it's a lifelong pursuit. And to me, it's not a goal. It's a process of just being loving. And we can indeed just love what is happening. And if we're feeling upset, we can love that we feel upset. And if we're irritated, we can love our irritation. And if we're upset with the government, we can love, even though the government isn't doing what we want to do, we can just say, I love this. And those are three magic words, I think, that I like apply to life, which is, what's going on? I love this.
Mm, so beautiful, so true, and such a practice for a lot of people, loving the present moment, but so true. And thank you for bringing this awareness to awaken all of us, Paul. We greatly appreciate you, and much success in what you're doing in your journey in this lifetime, and with your book, The Rest of Your Life. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me. I've had the time of my life.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
God bless you.
And all you beautiful listeners out there, this has been Infinite Love Radio for this week. Breathing in, breathing out, gently into the moment is the call of the now. Being aware of who we are in the present moment, and as Paul suggested and invited all of us to do, is just love what is. Just love what is, because the other stuff ain't working for us. Let's try a new way of perceiving, a new way of seeing, a new way of thinking, thinking from our hearts and the present moment, loving what is, loving our heads and our eyes and our mouth and our body and every organ and every system, and loving the challenges and loving all who come and go in our lives. Just being aware and practicing. As I am not preaching, I will start right now, I will do this consciously. And so for now, I invite all of you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body. Breathe it in. And breathe it out and give it to the whole world, for in truth, we're all one. And don't forget to visit my website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download free guided meditations and insights. As always, I invite all of your comments, suggestions, and questions to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. This has been Infinite Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. Thank you, and blessings to you until next week. Good day.